Turn to Acts chapter 27. I know this is an important evening. Most everyone has their mind on the vote, right? And so I was praying, Lord, this is an important evening, it's an important service, it's important. You know, I've got to preach right before this. And I was like, Lord, I've got to have just the right sermon. So I'm trying to think, you know, what's the just the right sermon for this occasion? And the Lord was like, well, let me just give you a sermon and that'll be the right one. It's like, oh, that would be good. And so he started giving me thoughts for this sermon. So here we go. Amen. And the title of the sermon is it's not prophetic. OK, it's called Surviving the Storm. All right. It's not prophetic for what's laying ahead for a church. But it dawned on me that there's a lot more going on in our church than just a vote tonight. A church is made up of people, and people have problems, they have difficulties, they have hurts, they go through storms. And I believe God has this message for us this evening, and I would like to begin. We'll read several verses here in chapter 27. By the end of the sermon, we'll get through the whole chapter, but I won't read the whole thing first, just the first 14 verses. So follow along with me. It says, and when it was determined that they should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And that's a blessing. You know, here is Paul's a prisoner, but I've got this little phrase underlined here in my Bible, to refresh himself. That even in the midst of our trials, God gives us times of refreshing. But then it said in verse 4, and when we had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy. And he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Sindus, the wind was not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salome. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city Lycia. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master of and owner of the ship more than those things which are spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Let's pray. Father, we have this passage before us. This is an account of something that happened in the Scripture. You said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We know it's profitable. And Lord, although this passage doesn't have a bunch of commands or specific promises in it directed to us in any particular real manner as far as when we're going through storms, but it does give us some principles, precepts that we can follow. And I pray that as we look at that and other portions of Scripture, that you will encourage us and help us face any storms that we might be facing today. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Storms are a part of life. Perhaps you just came out of one. Others might be in one, and if that's not the case with either, you may be having one in the future. Paul was certainly in one. He was wrongly imprisoned, and he appealed to Caesar for a hearing. And so the officials put him on a ship bound for Rome as a prisoner. And as they were traveling, of course, they encountered this strong, violent storm called Euroclydon. The passage, again, provides an account of how they survived. And God put it in here for a reason. I think it also can illustrate how we can survive storms of a spiritual nature. And so I want to consider a few things that we can do when we are in a storm. So actually, I have several of them. They will move pretty quickly. Let me give you the first one. Number one, anticipate the storm. All right, anticipate the storm. I don't believe that God wants us to borrow trouble. You know, some people are always like, well, what's going to happen next? Always living in fear and dread and worry and anxiety. God doesn't teach us to do that. But we shouldn't be caught off guard. Right? It's wise to be cautious. The Bible says the prudent man looketh well to his going. That's Proverbs 14:15. And so we must remember that there are stormy seasons. Okay? After a certain date, look in verse 9 with me again. Now, when much time was spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed. So sailing was dangerous because this a date on the calendar had been marked by this fast and it had already passed. And they knew after that date, after this particular fast on this date in the calendar, sailing can tend to be dangerous. And they just knew that there was a season the storms come. When we lived in Zambia, we had a rainy season. It was just, you could count on it. It was coming. The chances of a storm breaking out during that time were much, much higher. You're not going to get rain in the dry season. But in the rainy season, we could have some tremendous storms. So you just kind of planned for that. You would go with some kind of rain protection during the rainy season. You wouldn't even think about that in the dry season. So there are seasons in life, too, where we have storms. I know anytime you attempt to do something great for God, many times as a bus captain, right in the middle of a fall push, surprise, surprise, catastrophe number 1, 2, and 3 show up, right? And you're like, what on earth? What's going on? Well, what's going on is you're trying to do more for the Lord and the devil doesn't like it. And so he throws a little something in there to catch you off guard. You know, I'm looking out there to see Todd. I mean, wow. We got the stories to tell, right, brother? I know one day in a fall bush, I won't give a little story. We had 444. I know you had more than me. I know. But that was the highest day I've ever had. And to put that in perspective, that was more than we had on the buses last week. And that's what we had. And we met at the roller rink and had the surfs there and had roller skating. Wow. And the storm breaks out. Amen. But God was there and helped us through the storm. There's going to be storms. There'll be storms in times of pastoral transition. The devil doesn't like that. Of course he's going to work people up. Of course he's going to try to sow discord and strife among the brethren. And so just in life in general, we should know and not be taken off guard. I remember we're having a big anniversary service in Zambia in the Church of Kabwe. And we had, you know, tons of people coming out. And all of a sudden something, you know, one of the main ushers came up and said, Pastor, and he tells me about this big problem, and I just smiled. And that's not normal for me, just to smile during the midst of a big problem. But I smiled, and I said, yep, that's the devil. I knew he was going to do something today. But that day, I was anticipating it, so it didn't catch me off guard. And we shouldn't be taken by surprise when storms arise. Don't borrow trouble, but don't fret when they come. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Okay, there are seasons for storms. And where they're about, take a step back and say, hey, this is why this is happening. Because the devil's trying to get in here, or God's trying to help us through, and we're getting some resistance here and there. And so just be able to take a step back from your terrible situation and survey what's going on and try to ask the Lord to help you see the big picture. And don't take chances. Okay, that's something else we can learn here from this passage. Look at verse number 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing, I like that word, supposing, that they had obtained their purpose, loosing fence, they sailed. Hey, there's just a nice little soft wind. We can get going and everything will be good. We'll make it where we're going to go just fine. But then, verse 14, not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind. So the soft winds of temptation, they will blow and they will lure us right into a storm. And when you least expect it, a storm can arise. But then again, don't be taken off guard. Because if we're careless and just act like, hey, everything's just okay, that can lead us right into a storm that could have been avoided. So that's the first one. Second thought I have from the passage, we're going to read verses 15 through 17. As I'll give you the idea. Use all the help that is available. When you're in a storm, don't ignore the helps. And it says here in 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under Crete, under a certain island, which is called Clauda, he had much work to come by the boat. Why? Because the boat was getting beaten to pieces and there was a lot of damage. And then it says in verse 17, which when we had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. And so the storm drove the ship, caused significant damage, and they used helps. Now, that's probably ropes and cables and chains that they used. They used those things to help shore up and strengthen the ship to keep it together. And we've been given some things to help us get through our storms, too. Some helps. We have the presence of God. When Jesus, when the disciples were in a storm, who was on the boat with them? Jesus was. Don't forget, the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When you're in the midst of a terrible storm, don't forget, he said that he's a very present help in trouble. We have the presence of God. Another help is we have prayer. We have prayer to God. Jonah was in a storm. Oh, yeah. As a result, he ended up in the belly of the whale. What did he do after he got in there? He prayed. What does that teach us? When we're in a storm, cry out to God. These are helps that we have. A third one is the promises of God. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So God's given us his word. He's given us prayer. He's given us his presence. And when we're going through a storm, we've just got to step back and realize God's with me. Talk to him. Seek help from his word. And those helps will keep you together during the storm. You're going to get battered. You're going to get beat up a little bit. But God is there to help you through. Now we see the third idea here, and that's this. Remember that there are worse things than the storm. So where do you get that? Well, the end of verse 17, it says, they had undergirded the ship. It says, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they strake sail and were so driven. Now, the storm that they were in was fierce. It was so bad that it caused great damage. What on earth would possess them to go back into that storm? Well, the fact that they were on an island where there was quicksand, and it was more dangerous for them to stay than it would have been to go. And so they set sail again. And we've got to realize that, you know, most people, I don't know about you, but me, when I'm in a storm, I want to get it out of it as quickly as possible. Right. But we've got to remember that trying to just jump ship and get out of the storm isn't going to fix everything. Sometimes you might have problems at work. Quitting your job might be very tempting, but you kind of need money to pay your bills, right? Leaving home, they promise all the freedom that you want. But then you might find yourself in further trouble because you didn't use that freedom the right way, right? So don't act rashly just to have an easier life, I guess, is what the idea is. You might be in the storm, but if that's where God wants you, He'll be with you. And it's not as bad as some other things that you could be facing. So don't be afraid to face the storm. The fourth thing is this. Lighten the load. Lighten the load. And that's what they did in verses 18 and 19. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands. That's Paul and Luke. Luke's writing this. Even they were helping with our own hands, the tackling of the ship. Now, too much weight would have made the ship more susceptible to sinking. Now, especially if they were in an area where it was shallow and there were rocks. And so you wanted to lighten the ship so it wouldn't be setting down so heavy. And if they were taking on more water, then it wouldn't be bearing down so much. So they threw out some cargo, obviously, and then they tossed out the unnecessary equipment, the tackling. And in a storm, it's good for us to take some inventory in our lives. What kind of storm are you in right now? Family storm, a friend storm, a storm at the job, whatever. Take personal inventory, because sometimes we're not as spiritual as we think we are. And I was reminded, I remember way back, over 20 years ago, I remember preaching a sermon. And, you know, and God gave me I thought it was a pretty good sermon for a change, you know. And there was a good response. And, you know, people said, wow, that was good. And praise the Lord. And then right afterwards, I had a meeting with the pastor and got my head ripped off for something else I'd done earlier in the week. I was like, I didn't realize here I am thinking I'm spiritual because I just preached this sermon, you know. Sometimes we're not as spiritual as we think we are because we have other things going on in our lives that we need to address. So sin will weigh you down, just like cargo and all that unnecessary stuff would weigh the ship down. And that was dangerous for the ship. So is sin and anything unnecessary that we allow to stay in our lives. So we should take some inventory and determine that whatever's in our life that needs to go, get rid of it. The fifth thing, we find this in verse number 20. Realize that things may get worse before they get better. But don't lose hope. All right? Things may get worse before they get better, but don't lose hope. You say, you're supposed to tell me they're all going to go away. All of our problems are not going to go away right away. Sometimes we reap what we sow. Sometimes we have to have that time of reaping. Verse number 20 says this. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. As I mentioned before, when I have problems and I'm in a storm, I want my problems gone as soon as possible. Paul and his company had many dark days. One bad day is difficult. But then when you have a string of them, it's really difficult to endure that. One thing after another, after another, after another, after another. It builds up. It'll wear on you. And notice the things that were so bad that this is Luke who wrote this. Luke said, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Here's a saved guy, a spiritual guy, saying, all hope was gone. Now, hope, we need hope. Hope gets us through these difficult times. I'd like to talk about that little light at the end of the tunnel. If you know, students just finish up final exams. So they know, once I get through that week of finals, then I got the break. And they can see the break coming. Why? Because there's an end date. I'm going to have these finals and it's all going to be good, right? And we want to see a little bit of hope. We want to see some daylight at the end of our... Many days, it was day after day after day, it was dark. They had no expectation of deliverance. And when things get so dark and we lose hope, we start making some foolish decisions. Recently, my son was out on patrol and he responded to a call. It was in an evening and a lady was on a bridge, sitting on a ledge, facing out, getting ready to jump. And it was his duty to prevent her from doing that. And so he talked calmly to her and approached her slowly and thankfully was able to secure her and get her some needed help. But that's just so typical of our world today. This isn't some headline from Chicago or, you know, San Francisco. This is the next town over. People are hurting. People all over feel like there's no hope. We have a large crowd here. I would imagine someone is here is thinking, man, I just don't know how to get out of what I'm in right now. It wouldn't be past thinking that someone in the last several months in this room thought about just taking your life. It's the only way out. No, it's not the only way out. Let me tell you, there is hope. Of Abraham, it was said in Romans chapter 4, who against hope believed in hope. There was no reason for him to have hope, but he had hope. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You see, God had already told Paul that he was going to testify at Rome. He couldn't testify if he was dead. There was a promise to cling to. Amen? And so with God, there is always hope. Give you number six. Find this in verse number 21. Accept any responsibility that you may have for the storm. Oh, no, the storm is not my doing. It might be. Or it might be partly your fault. And if we ever hope to get out of the storm, if it is partly our fault and we won't own up to it, don't expect God's help. If you are partly to blame for the storm that you're presently in, accept the responsibility that you have in the situation. Verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." Now, he had to confront them with their error. He wasn't doing it to rub it in. He was trying to get them to see that they were wrong for not listening to him. Why? Because going forward, they were going to have to listen to him if they wanted to get help. They wanted to make it through. So they needed to admit their mistake and then be willing to listen going forward. And failing to correct our mistakes will only cause us to have more problems. So we need to learn to admit where we're wrong. It's real easy to point to someone else and say, "Lord, yeah, but what about them?" And as soon as you start pointing the finger, all the blame goes on them and you're forgetting about yourself. And you might be the one who's a little bit more at fault. But because the other guy did something a little bit off, you're all justified in what you've done. And you've lost you lost the whole point, and you're not going to get out of your storm. But once we admit where we are wrong, then God can help us. Number seven, find this in verses 22 to 25. Expect God's deliverance. "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." This is Paul speaking. "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them to sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me.'" So in the midst of the storm, let me just say this. God will do what he did for Paul. He brought reassurance to Paul in the midst of the storm. He had a message for Paul. His message was, be of good cheer. His message was, fear not. His message was, believe in God. And if we do, God can help us through. Notice something there in verse number 22. That God We will have losses sometimes in a storm, but he can limit those losses. Maybe you've gone through this hard time and some things have fallen apart. They don't have to keep falling apart. Look with me in verse 22 again. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Yeah, the ship was going to be lost. That was part of the plan, but not their lives. So I think it's pretty good for us to keep things in perspective, that God may allow us to have some setbacks in our storms. But he controls how much we lose, and he controls how long we have to be in those storms. So be of good cheer and believe that God will get you out of the worst of the situation you're in. Give me another one. Number 8. Say, how many are there? Verse 26. How be it? We must be cast upon a certain island. Number 8 is understand that God's deliverance may involve some inconveniences. That word how be it means nevertheless or however or but, whatever. So, although God had promised that he would spare their lives, there were still going to be some difficult days ahead. Now, we typically want all of our problems gone right away. To me, that's deliverance. But deliverance sometimes comes bit by bit. It doesn't always come immediately right now when I want it. And that just reminds us, life's not always going to be smooth sailing. And don't think the Lord has let you down because you have a few unresolved troubles. What about the troubles he has gotten you through? What about the situations that he has worked out? Yeah, but he's fixed all that, but he hasn't done this yet, so I'm not going to be happy yet. Let's be happy with what he's done and expect that he'll continue to do it for us. And even though they would be cast upon an island, they didn't have a cause for fear. And you say, why? Notice the words, verse 26. It says, a certain island. The Lord knew which island it was going to be, and he knew how long they would be there. And I think that we should be happy that God has certain stops along the way on our road to victory. And we just should trust in him that he's got it all worked out. Be patient. Wait for his time. Number 9. Work through the storm together. Find this in verse 29 through 32. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except these, the sailors, abide in the ship, ye, talking about the soldiers, cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. We got to work together. You know, let me say this. Storms will wear you out, especially the longer you're in one. Anyone with ongoing health problems knows exactly what I'm talking about. It wears on you. It just never goes away. And sometimes there is no light at the end of the tunnel, and it's hard to keep going. I understand that. Storms will drain us emotionally, mentally, physically, and they will even drain us spiritually. And when we're in such a state, our whole being seems to cry out for rest. I just want rest. You just want the storm to end. You just want to get out of the storm. And in the midst of storms, people become desperate. Sometimes in marriages, one spouse will walk out on another because they're in a storm. They're desperate. They're hurting. It doesn't have to be that way, but that's what happens. People quit their jobs. Children run away from home. Church members look for a new church. Why? Because I'm in a storm. I want all these problems to stop, so I just want to fix it real quickly. It's not how it always works. Never try to get out of a storm that God wants you to go through. Now, that's easy to say, but that's hard to live, because I've had to preach this to myself as I was putting this one together. Never try to get out of a storm that God wants you to go through. Ouch, but I don't want to go through it. I want out. But if God wants you going through it, go through it. And when we're weak, we need to seek the Lord for His strength. Psalm 86, verse 16 says, "Oh, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant." When we're weak, just ask God for strength. Now, obviously, the sailors were not really God-fearing men, and they weren't seeking God's strength. And the ship was in shallow waters, and they were fearing striking the rocks. And so the sailors decided to escape in the lifeboat. Now, why lifeboat? If they get out of the big boat, they're still going to be in the storm. You say, they'd be safer in the big boat. Oh, you forgot the lesson. The little boat was lighter, and the rocks were there. Less chance of them being weighed down and hitting the rocks. Better chance of getting through. And the sailors knew that. And the actions of the sailors, though, were about to affect everybody else in the ship. Because once the sailors are all gone, who's left? The soldiers and the prisoners. What do they know about getting the ship to shore? Nothing. And so Paul said, this isn't a good idea, guys. And Paul told the soldiers that if the sailors left, they would all be dead. Ooh. Now, here's a lesson for us. In the storm, work together. When the church is going through a storm, don't get each other's throat and choose sides. Work together. Help one another. We can get through things. When you're having a storm in your family, yelling, screaming, giving each other silent treatment, whatever it is, that's not going to fix the storm. Work together. And you can get through it. You can get through it. Everyone must do their part. Psalm 133, verse 1. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Unity. You know, we're going to have a vote. I can promise you this, that the result of the vote is not going to be what some people wanted. You know that. Well, I hope I'm on the... What if you're not? Have we not been praying, "Lord, let your will be done"? And when His will is done, we work together. We work together. It's interesting. The soldiers, sailors, the prisoners all jumped in and lent a hand and worked together. And in the same way, every family member must do their part to get through a storm in the home, and every church member must lend a hand when we're in a tempest, whatever it is. Abandoning ship is not the best idea when other people need you. Get the idea of a church. Church is made of members. And God puts every member where He wants them. He equips them as He wants them. We're not always going to get along with every member. But we can work at it. And God can help us. Are you in a storm? Do your part to get yourself and others through it. Those guys in the boat, those shipmen, they were just trying to look out for old number one. They weren't caring about anybody else on that ship. And that should not be our attitude. Let me give you number 10. Don't worry, I only have 12. Listen to the man of God. I see it in here. Verse number 31 and 32. Paul said to the centurion and to soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." And the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Paul was not a sailor, was he? He was not the go-to expert on board to figure out how to get that through. But God had put him there, and he'd already addressed it earlier. Hey, you're not listening. Own it up and start listening. He might not have been the expert sailor, but God was with him. He was in touch with God, and God put Paul on the boat to give him clear instructions. I'm thankful that God gives us biblical leadership to help us through. People hadn't listened to Paul previously, but now it was time to start doing so. Don't be so headstrong, okay, that you ignore the warnings of the man of God. You know, you may point fingers at the man of God and find out all his flaws, but don't forget, God put him there to help you. I don't know any preachers that say that they're without sin. And the Bible still says, Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, don't miss this part of the verse. Obey, why? For your sake. Not for their sake, because it'll help you. They're watching out for you. So I'm not going to listen because he said it. That doesn't help you. So when the man of God sees you're in a storm and the waves are beating on the ship and the wind is boisterous, you know, he might have to yell a little bit to get your attention. That's okay. Take it as it's meant. Paul was trying to help, not hurt the soldiers. And if the men on board the ship would listen to Paul, their lives would be saved. Pretty good deal, wouldn't it? Right? And so don't scrap your future just because you're too proud to listen to the direction that you've been given from godly leadership. Be careful. Listen to the man of God. Number 11, take care of yourself. It's a practical point here. We read verses 33 through 38. Scripture says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having nothing, taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken, he began to eat. Then were they all in of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. The men on the ship were so preoccupied with just trying to survive that they had taken, there was so little time even to take some food. Obviously, they were lacking sleep and food. It had been nearly 2 weeks since they had eaten a proper meal. I don't know about you, but if I go like a day without any proper meal, my stomach's like, you know. They were weak. Try to go in without food for a while. You become weak. And I'll just say this. It's important to take care of yourself in a storm. You've got to take care of it. You can't function properly when you don't get the right rest and nutrition. People who get in a very terrible time, they get in depression, they stop eating, they stop sleeping, all of that. Hey, you know, once the men of God, you know, were told to take food and they saw Paul take some, this is then were they all of good cheer. We know of another guy in the Bible who got pretty discouraged. He was in a storm. His name was Elijah. And he was sitting under the juniper tree, and an angel came up and said, arise and eat. And he did, and then he went back to sleep. And then he gets woken up again. The second time, the angel appeared saying, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. You need to eat. See, God knows we need strength for our journey. Can I say this also? Psalm 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. So instead of sitting up and worrying, or getting up early and worrying, and not eating, and not taking care of yourself, Trust God to work things out and get the food and the rest that you need. Worry does not help anybody. And your body works as a whole. And Paul was telling them, hey, it's time to eat. You need some strength. You got some swimming to do, bud. And get ready for this. Just like the angel said, Elijah, you got a long distance to go and you're going to have some food to get this accomplished. The passage is not saying we should never fast. It's saying, but when you're in a tough time, try going days and days and days without food and days and days and days without sleep. You know what happens? You get messed up. Don't do it. Take care of yourself. And number 12, finally, trust in God's providence. Verse number 39. And when it was day, they knew not land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore and fall into a place where two seas met. They ran the ship aground and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. See, God had assured them they were going to get through. And so they faced the storm, let her run, and hope for the best. And yes, the soldiers, they had planned, hey, it's best just to kill these prisoners so they don't escape, because if they escape, then we're in trouble, so we don't want to get in trouble, so let's kill them all. But God had a centurion there to keep them from their purpose. And I like that, because the Lord has his centurions around to help us out when we need it too. They all escaped, and they got just as predicted, and the Bible says they escaped, and it says, I like that little phrase, and I have it underlined, all safe. They were all safe. Can I say this? God's intention in the storm is to prove us, not to destroy us. It's painful. It's difficult. But in the end, we'll be safe. Let's get through the storms that we're facing as individuals and trust God. If you're in a storm, don't lose hope. And when all hope is gone and taken away, hope anyway. Believe God, and He will get you through. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Are you in a storm tonight? I think it would be helpful if we all took inventory and lighten the load. Get rid of anything unnecessary that's in our lives. Accept responsibility that might be ours. Expect God to deliver and work together. God doesn't want us to try to get out of a storm that's His intention for us to go through. Don't try to abandon ship. Listen to the counsel of the man of God. Take care of yourself and trust Him to providentially work all things together for His good. Father, I pray that You'd work through this message. Only You know who needs this. I just pray that it would be a help, a strength, an encouragement, a challenge, Lord. Possibly someone needs to be convicted about how they've handled the storm. I don't know, but I commit this to You and ask that You'd work in our invitation. And I pray that You'd have Your way in our hearts. Help us to submit to You, we pray in Christ's name. Let's stand to our feet with our